Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. More than 60 people now have been confirmed dead from a massive earthquake that struck southern Mexico. Reuters' Lucy Fielder following the story.
The highest number of deaths were recorded in Oaxaca and Chiapas in the south. In the town of Juchitan, some buildings were reduced to rubble. People ran outside in their pajamas and shaken tourists were driven from their beds. Its 8.1 magnitude was stronger than a devastating 1985 quake that flattened swathes of Mexico City and killed thousands. But this time, damage to the capital was limited. Power went out for about a million of its residents. At the international airport, cracked floors, swaying monitors and broken windows. The quake's epicenter was in the Pacific Ocean, just off the town of Pijijiapan. More aftershocks are likely, President Enrique Peña Nieto said, but despite earlier fears, the tsunami risk is not great.
Reuters' Lucy Fielder reporting. President Trump at his cabinet meeting today concerning Hurricane Irma, which is poised to slam into the U.S. state of Florida, has already killed at least 21 people in the Caribbean.
Nothing is more important than the safety and security of our people. We are doing everything we can to help with disaster preparations, and when the time comes, we will restore, recover, and rebuild together as Americans.
Behind Irma is Hurricane Jose, similar winds, 250 kilometers per hour, following the same route toward the island of Barbuda in its path. Barbuda virtually uninhabitable after Irma. Meantime, Hurricane Katia made landfall late Friday on the east coast of Mexico, packing 120-mile-per-hour winds. This is VOA News. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley is reminding Myanmar that while Washington supports the fight against violence in the northwestern Rakhine State, humanitarian aid must reach those in need. Latest round of violence began August 25th. When a group of Rohingya insurgents attacked police post and an army base in what they said was an effort to protect their ethnic minority from persecution. Rakhine State is home to most of the Rohingya minority group. Subsequent clashes and a military counteroffensive have killed at least 400, triggered the latest exodus of Rohingya villagers to neighboring Bangladesh. Myanmar's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, has been criticized over her response to the violence.
This is one of the biggest challenges that we've had to face, because you know that the situation in the Rakhine has been difficult for many decades. And in fact, it goes right back to pre-colonial times. And I think it's a little unreasonable to expect us to resolve everything in 18 months. As you know, that we have all been in the administration only 18 months. We're trying to progress as quickly as possible on the development front.
Human rights advocates are urging the government of Myanmar to stop the violence. United States formally requesting a vote of the UN Security Council on Monday of a draft resolution to establish new sanctions against North Korea because of its nuclear and missile programs. Meantime, the European Union is backing economic pressure on Pyongyang. Federica Mogherini is High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy.
All this pressure, both in terms of UN sanctions implementation and in terms of EU autonomous sanctions, is aimed at opening channels for diplomatic dialogue that at the moment are not present.
U.S. Defense Chief Jim Mattis and other Trump administration officials have said multiple times that diplomacy is alive, even though military action against North Korea is a possibility. Pope Francis brought together thousands of victims of Colombia's half-century-long conflict with leftist rebels, presiding over a prayer for reconciliation in hopes of solidifying the country's peace process and healing still fresh wounds. At the height of his Colombia pilgrimage, Pope Francis flew into an area once besieged by rebels to pray with the victims there and to urge them to overcome their grief by forgiving their assailants. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com, and we're always available on the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Well, hello there, and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host. You're going to hear some brilliant new music and a very interesting story behind this new work from the master guitarist, Mike Stern. Mike Stern, who burst upon the scene in the early 1980s, he was active before that, but really became known as the guitarist working with Miles Davis, who helped Miles Davis return to the scene after about a 7-year layoff. Well, working with Miles helped Mike Stern explode upon the scene, and his unique sound and his great playing ability has established him as one of the greats of modern jazz guitar. I'll tell you a story that is absolutely astounding. How he broke his arms in a terrible accident in 2016, but has returned just months after that, really, to play live and in the studio and to create a wonderful new work. The album is titled Trip. Before we get to that, let's celebrate some music that's just been discovered that was actually recorded in a live performance at the Radio Netherlands Union in Hilversum in June of 1968. Three of the greatest jazz musicians of all time, Bill Evans on piano with his young trio of Eddie Gomez on bass and Jack DeJohnette on drums. From the newly discovered album, simply titled Another Time, the Hilversum Concert, here is that great Bill Evans trio with You're Gonna Hear From Me to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
something to teach us all about being free.
That's the fine vocalist Sharrenae Wade from a recent release titled Offering, the music of Gil Scott-Heron with a song I Think I'll Call It Morning, with the help of a wonderful array of great musicians like Dave Stryker on guitar, Lonnie Plaxico on bass, Stefan Harris on the vibes, Marcus Miller, Christian McBride, and others joined in on this project. Hope you enjoyed that here on VOA's Jazz America. Mike Stern, the great guitar player, in June of 2016, was walking out of his New York City apartment in the evening to hail a taxi. And as he was walking toward the street to raise his arm to get the taxi to pull over so he could jump in, he fell over some construction material that had been left on the sidewalk. When he fell, he broke both of the humerus bones, the long bones between the shoulder and the elbow, in each one of his arms. One of those arms took screws to put it back in place. His shoulders were also injured. So he decided to take off a couple of months, and after having medical assistance, he was back on the scene, to be specific, working with Chick Corea at the Blue Note in New York City with some screws in his arm as well as a glove attached with Velcro so he could hold the pick and play guitar. Not long thereafter, he was back on tour. He was also in the studio and recorded an album with a tongue-in-cheek title, Trip. We're going to hear the title cut from Trip after we spend some time talking with Mike Stern here on VOA's Jazz America.
You mentioned your early inspirations of being turned on to jazz, and somebody of your age and your generation could easily have just gone into purely pop music, because when you were growing up, we're talking about the British invasion and Motown, and pop music was king, and jazz had been put on the back burner. And if you were going to be a serious musician, and you wanted to, well, if you wanted to really make money and become famous, you were going to go into pop music. So, unless you were going to Juilliard and were going to be in somebody's symphony somewhere, it was probably going to be pop. But you were smitten by jazz, and luckily you had somebody turn you on to it. A lot of folks of your age, your generation, had an older brother or sister that loved jazz, or an uncle or somebody. So it was a lucky break in a way for all of us who now love your music and the jazz, the improvisation of it. You could have gone a different direction, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I at one point there were a couple people asking me to play in rock bands I did some, mm-hmm. when I was younger, and just for fun, a little bit of bread and all that stuff, mm-hmm. But it wasn't enough for me. I felt musically that I just fell in love with jazz, the groove of it, the swing feel, the adventure, all that stuff, mm-hmm. And also the challenge to mm-hmm. learn it, because it right away it sounded like that's some cool sounding and feeling music. That's the first thing I reacted to, I think. And then as I got more into it and tried to play along, I said, that's also some kind of sometimes pretty complicated music compared to, blues and yeah. rock stuff. And so I studied more. I got into, I went to Berkeley for a while. I was studying privately a little bit and went to Berkeley.
And you're originally from Boston, right?
I was born in Boston, and then I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And I listened to a lot of, I should have said, I did listen to a lot of Motown there, to mm-hmm. a lot of soul music when I was growing up, tons of that. But jazz really just got me.
Now let's enjoy the title cut from Trip, the latest from Mike Stern on Jazz America from VOA 1. We'll be right back.
is Wynton Marsalis, and y'all are listening to and enjoying Jazz America with the one and only Russ Davis, an original on The Voice of America.
Marsalis Brothers, Wynton Marsalis from his 1983 release Think of One, and a song written by Ray Drummond called What is Happening Here Now. And I say the Marsalis Brothers because not only was it Wynton on the trumpet, but also his esteemed brother, Branford, on the saxophone. Hope you enjoyed that one as we looked back to the early days of the career of the great Wynton Marsalis. And on this edition of Jazz America, we're saluting the return, the comeback of the great guitarist Mike Stern after his accident in which he broke both of his arms, but he's back, as you're hearing, with music from his new release Trip. More of that on the way. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a very simple and short message I received. I'm Ephraim from Ethiopia. I'm a new listener. I found your sound very cute. Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment. That's Ephraim Mebrate from Ethiopia. Thank you, Ephraim. And at this time of year, I get a little self-indulgent on the program. And the reason is because the 10th of September is my birthday. And so I'm going to celebrate by playing music from an artist who shares my birthday, September 10. This gentleman is a master of the vibes. He was born in 1940. He is Roy Ayers. So Roy and I will celebrate our birthdays on the 10th of September as we listen to his song, Heirloom, from the album Virgo Vibes. And since we're Virgos, I think this is appropriate here on VOA's Jazz America.
time and the wrong place. Though your face is charming, it's the wrong face. It's not his face, but such a charming face. But it's all right with me. It's the wrong song. Your smile is lovely, it's the wrong smile. It's not his smile, but such a lovely smile. And it's all right with me. You can't know how happy I am that we met. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's so
there are so many wonderful vocalists in the world of jazz from the past and the present. And from the present, because I always want to give you some new music from artists that are making new statements in jazz, that is Calabria Foti. And from her album, In the Still of the Night, the music of Cole Porter, that's her version of It's All Right With Me, with a little help from the legendary clarinetist Eddie Daniels. Now, let's turn to more conversation with the great Mike Stern. And when you listen to the music of Mike Stern, you automatically get the sense that no one sounds like Mr. Stern on the guitar. He has developed his own unique voice with the six-string instrument. Let's find out how he did that, and then hear more of his new release Trip here on VOA's Jazz America. I want to talk to you about The Voice. Everybody remembers one of your Grammy-nominated works, Voices, where you first brought in the human voice. But not only on Big Neighborhood do you have the voices, the beautiful voices of Richard Bonin and Esperanza Spalding, but your voice... You know, you found through the devices that you play through and the guitar that you choose and the way you touch the strings, you found a voice. It has a human quality, and I want you to expound on that a little bit, and also bringing in the wordless vocal in the singers.
I appreciate that, first of all, but I think it's over time you find your own way of playing. Hopefully, you know, you just do it enough, and you kind of and for me, I kind of stuck with a certain kind of a concept that was kind of natural for me, because when I was little, I was singing first. I was, you know, more like screaming around the house. Mm. And my mom heard me do that all the time. So she knew that I was going to do something with music. And so she got me some piano lessons. And then I went at age about 9 years old, I picked up the guitar. And it was about 12 years old. I picked up the guitar, and it was just kind of my decision to kind of, you know, that was my... choice, you know. So I felt like that was kind of, I'm 12 years old, I'm making my own choices here, you know. I don't want to go, because my mom plays piano really, really beautifully. And so I kind of got in, I just got hooked to it right away. But I always liked the singing quality of a horn also, and also just the singing quality of a voice. So I always tried to get that somehow through the guitar, the way I play it. I'll pick, sometimes I pick every note, but I pick them light. And kind of not real even sometimes, so that the kind of the syllables that come out or whatever are kind of vocal kind of sounding. And then I like two amps, a kind of a stereo sound, to give it kind of more of an acoustic kind of quality, and kind of more air, and a little bit of ambiance with a little bit of chorus and some delay. But mainly I think it's the way I kind of... play and just hear the sound is just for better or for worse. For me, it's just natural to, and I like it to sing.
Now, having heard Mike Stern give us those words, let's hear him as he gives us his voice, as his guitar sounds like the human voice almost, on a song called What You Call It from the album Trip on Jazz America from VOA 1.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Stern, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America.
another Virgo birthday to celebrate. That is the great Elvin Jones. With the help of the late, great Michael Brecker on saxophone, Antoine Roney on the saxophone, Robin Eubanks on trombone, and others with EJ's Blues. From the Elvin Jones Jazz Machine album, The Truth, heard live at the Blue Note, recorded in September of 1999. More of our celebration of the comeback kid, Mike Stern, next hour.